are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thy throne of mercy this morning, believing, O God, that you have come down with a shout. The great God who made the universe, the great God who created the heavens and the earth, and yet you came to woo a bride. Father, we pray that you, being the great dove who came down and lit upon your son Jesus, that our nature, being that of a lamb, would be the only nature that would be have the right atmosphere for your dove to come upon. Help us, O God, to enter into that which was ordained for us before the foundations of the world, knowing that we will take only our character, and our character must match the character of your son Jesus. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to proceed further into our study of Christ as the mystery of God revealed. This will be number 80 in our series, and we'll entitle the sermon, Sons of God Echo God Life. Now, from paragraph 187, Brother Brown said, but God's great mystery, what the eternal God had as a mystery, has now been unfolded in Jesus Christ, then was given out down to his church. What was once in God's mind is now in the body of Christ. Jesus making love to the church, his bride, whispering secrets to her. You know how to tell your wife things? You know how that you tell your wife things? You know the little girl that you're going to marry? You love her so much, you just tell her the secrets and get her up next to you and love you and everything. And you know how it is. That's what Christ is doing to the church. See, he's letting her know the secrets, just the secrets, not these flirters. I mean his wife. See, all right, now look, no. Now, by having the revelation of his secret made known to them by his grace, how the grace of God, people, I know it. I hope you don't think that sounds personal to a bunch of people or this, but the secret that God is sharing with the whole church, if they would just receive it, see, it doesn't mean just me or just you. It means the church that he's trying to get it into. And you say, well, why don't they receive it? Well, they can't receive it. He said these things, and how could they? Because Isaiah said they can't see it, see? So Brother Branham is talking about Christ's mystery of God revealed. He's talking about this great mystery, the threefold mystery, God in Christ, God in his church, or God reflecting in his church, and then have it coming back to that condition where we walk with God like it was back in Eden. Now, notice he says, but he's trying to get it even into the church, but they won't receive it. And he says, that's what Isaiah said, they can't see it. Now, what he's referring to here is Isaiah 6 and verse 9, if you'd open your Bibles with me. And we're going to read it for ourselves. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. So notice then we find the same thing spoken of by Jesus in Matthew 13, verse 10, and also in Mark chapter 4. In Matthew 13 and verse 10, we read, and the disciples came and they said unto him, why do you speak unto them in parables? Now notice here the disciples couldn't understand why Jesus was speaking to others who were not his disciples. He seemed to be speaking to them using stories to talk to them. And so they said, well, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus said, now the scripture in Matthew 13 does not tell you who the them is. Okay, the disciples are saying, why do you speak to them in parables? As opposed to, why do you speak to us? So they're not including themselves when they're talking about why Jesus, are you talking to them this way? Thus, this group is not of the disciples that Jesus had there. However, we find in Mark chapter 4, verse 10, a better description. It says, and when he was alone, they that were with him, with the 12, so it wasn't just the 12, it was with the 12, they asked him of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now, in other words, these were those who were not in the inner circle of Jesus, the ones he's talking about, those that are without. Now, let me be quite frank. Just because you might have your own circle, it doesn't mean diddly squat unless you are a vindicated prophet. And even Jesus had a Judas in the inner circle. So don't go too far with this thought here, because it's just what the scripture says. I don't want to get into detail on it. But in getting back to what Jesus spoke to them in the parable, which are stories. He continues in Matthew 13, verse 11. He says, "He answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." Notice Jesus is talking about grace here, unmerited favor with one group versus not unmerited favor with the other. And then in verse 12, he tells them something that is most important in understanding why one group can understand while the other group cannot understand. He says, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has." Now, the King James Version here does a really poor job in translating this verse. Notice that Jesus says, the reason why, the way you read it here, according to King James, is that Jesus is saying, well, the reason why one group is given is because they have. Well, they're given because they have. Therefore, they have more abundantly. While the other group does not have, and therefore, those that they think that they have, what they think they have is taken from them. Now, the King James Version really messed up the translation of this verse, because it sounds like, when you are reading this, that certain ones are given because they have. Which sounds backwards. They have because they've been given. That's what you would think that it would be saying here. But still, that's not what the verse is saying at all. But if you think because you are good at the King's English, and you can read your Bible, just forget it, because it all comes down to one thing, brother, sister. It's revelation. We know that unless you're born again, you cannot understand the things of God. That is what Jesus told Nicodemus in chapter 3. He said, unless you're born again, you cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit," not just any Spirit, not your Spirit, but the Spirit, God's Spirit, "searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man be in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So you see that the main purpose of receiving the Spirit of God is for us to be able to know the things that are freely given to us of God. In other words, if you don't have a Spirit, how are you going to understand him? Right? So the Holy Spirit, when he does the teaching, it will be comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And if it's your Spirit in you, if the Spirit in you searches the deep things of God, comparing spiritual with spiritual, it's not your spirit, it's the Holy Spirit in you. You see? So the Holy Spirit, when he does the teaching, he'll be comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them." It's impossible for him to know them, because they're spiritually discerned. "But he that is spiritual," that means he that is Spirit-filled, "judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Therefore, those men who translated the Bible, I just have to say this, they were not Spirit-filled. For had they been Spirit-filled, they wouldn't have messed up so many places in the translation. And this one in particular is very important, because they completely messed up Matthew 13, verse 12. When they translated the Greek word echo as the English word hath. Now, I mean, to him who has, I guess he has been given. That's what they're saying. To him who has, I guess he has because he's been given. And because they had no revelation, they totally botched the translation. Knowing the Greek word was actually the Greek word echo, which was spelled it's spelled the same way as it is in the English. It means precisely the same way it does in the English. So let's just read this verse over. Verse 12. "For whosoever is made of such a nature as to be able to echo, to him shall be given more, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever is not made in such a way as to be able to echo, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he is echoing." See, they had no understanding of a prophet of God being a reflector. And the prophet standing there reflecting God, and then the people standing in that presence and reflecting that prophet or reflecting that light. They had no clue to this. It was theology to them. And because it was theology to them, when they saw that word echo, they said, well, you know, there's other words like that echo can mean. And so they said, well, it could mean have or hath or this or that, because it talks about possession. But listen, an echo is not an original. An echo is a copy. But it's a perfect copy. It's not just quoting something. It's not just parroting something. It's actually saying it the same way with the same spirit behind it. You see? Now, I hope you're getting what I'm talking about here. The scripture speaks of the reason they have more abundance is because they are able to echo what is said. And when you echo something, you have it not just one time, but you have it over and over and over again like an echo does. Now, I hope you understand why Brother Vail said they got it, but they don't got it. In other words, they can repeat it like a parrot, but do they really understand it? You see, that's why Jesus says, seeing they see, but they don't see. They don't understand. Hearing they hear, but they don't really perceive. You understand? Because even that which they think that they were echoing, they really were not echoing. They thought that they had it, but they didn't have it. They thought that they were saying it right, but they weren't. Therefore, unless you're born again, you will never understand this message. And therefore, how in the world are you going to be able to reflect it or echo it in your life? If you don't even have a clue what's being said or what you're supposed to be echoing. You see, there's a lot of people can parrot Brother Branham. I remember Brother Vail years ago in 82 talking about this fellow. He said he was a real compendium of the message because he could quote, but he had it all wrong. You see? Now back to Matthew 13, verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, that's Isaiah 6 and 9, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. So there has to be a reason why two people can look at the same thing and get two different ideas of what it's all about. Remember, Brother Brown told us, Moses looked out the same window that Pharaoh did. Moses saw children of a promise, and Pharaoh saw mud daubers. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Now, the word translated waxed, gross, was translated from a Greek word which means to stupefy. The people's hearts, their understanding has become stupefied. Or it has become callous. In other words, their hearts have become hardened, and with a hardened heart, brothers and sisters, you'll never make it. We had better becoming soft and supple in our hearts, or you're never going to finish the race. And Brother Bram said that what calluses our hearts are the things of this world. Look how young men today can sit for hours and play video games where they shoot other men. And they don't even know who they're shooting. And if they're married and have a family or what. Look at how we saw on WikiLeaks, they showed it where, you know, from the helicopter, they shot about 12 men coming out of a building because they thought they were carrying weapons. It turned out they were carrying camera equipment, tripods and things. And they just shot them down because the guys that were doing the, they're at a distance away. You know, the snipers, they'll sit there and for two miles away, they'll plug away at a man. They don't even know the man. They don't know nothing about him. Well, he looks like, you know, he's an Arab. You know, he looks like he's somebody. You know, I'll get him. And so it's become this, you know, this awful, you know, they have people sitting back here in Colorado in the Granite Mountain. And they're looking at a screen and they've got these drones flying all over the place. And the drones are all weaponized. And the ones they're putting in this country are going to be weaponized as well. And if some guy says, well, you know what, this is like a video game. I can just... He's just killing a video pixel to him. But in reality, it's a real human being. Thou shalt not kill. That means thou shalt not murder. But they do it because why? And so these kids sitting at these games, they don't realize our government, our Department of Defense has spent millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars developing those video games. So then get kids to come into the service and shoot at will and not break a tear over it. Now let's continue reading Matthew 13. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and then I should have to heal them. I hope you can see the condition is in the heart. It is becoming so callous that when they see, they do not perceive what they're actually seeing. And when they hear, they're not hearing what they should be hearing. So they cannot understand what it is that they're seeing and hearing, and thus becoming callous, they cannot change their heart. But blessed are your eyes, he says, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And when the heart becomes hard, then death sets in the physical. Well, what about in the spiritual? Now let's move forward to paragraph 189 of Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, where Brother Brown says, the prophet Paul said, in the last days the people would be heady, they'd be high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, heady, high-minded, see, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this is the kind that goes from house to house and leads silly women laden with diverse lusts, with shorts and bobbed hair and everything else, led away with diverse lusts, and they say it's all right. Well, they're just crazy out there. They don't pay no attention, see? Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and these men resisted it as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Able to produce a church and produce a group of people, just as, but their folly will be made manifest when Jesus takes his bride and sets her up here and says, this is her, and away he goes with her. That's right, their folly will be made known. So listen, brothers and sisters, everything and everyone will get their just dues. And don't forget that. So let's not fuss with them anymore. No, sir. Look, listen to what the prophet's telling us here. He said their folly will be made known, will be made manifest when Jesus takes his bride. So your days are coming and so are theirs. You don't need to explain nothing to anyone. If they really want to know, they would ask. So let's just lay in the presence of the Son to ripen and become sweet in our spirit and mellow down in our soul until we have that Lamb spirit that is the only spirit that the dove will light upon. From his sermon, New Ministry, Brother Branham said, just remember, you are sheep, and he is a dove. And the dove leads the lamb, and the lamb and the dove has the same nature. The dove is the most gentlest of all the birds of the heavens. A lamb is the most gentlest of all the beasts of the earth. So you see, their spirits will coincide with one another. Now the dove could not come onto a wolf, see? It wouldn't stay there. The wolf is a killer. The lamb is gentle. So you see, it's the lamb and the dove, one leading the other. And do you see where the dove led the lamb to? All the way to Calvary for crucifixion. And that's what God is doing for us. He's leading you to the place where you're willing to be crucified, to crucify your own flesh and the lusts thereof. And he opened not his mouth. When they spit on him, he never spit back. When they smacked him, he never smacked back. He just went right on, knowing that he was for the glory of God. He was doing the will of God. And so, too, we're heading for our Calvary, our daily crucifixion. And the more you're willing to die to self, the more your nature is becoming ready for a body change. The more you're becoming that true lamb nature. Paragraph 190 says, now look it. Have the revelation of this secret made known to them by his grace. Look, when this great revelation, revealed mystery, is made known to you, then you denounce all the things of the world. Now, I'm going to come back once again. I was not going to say it. I'm pointing to it in the tape's sake. And those that are going across, this tape goes all across the world, see? But you women that claim that you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not the audacity to let your hair grow out, when the Bible condemns it and says a man's got a right to put away his wife in divorce if she bobs her hair, honor before God to do so. The Bible says that if she cuts her hair, she dishonors her head. And it's common, you know, what any old common thing it is for a woman to even pray with bobbed hair, see? Wearing shorts and those and these slacks and things. The Bible said any woman that'll put on a garment that pertains to a man, it's an abomination to God. It's filthy, dirty, like an old stinking bathroom somewhere. See? Oh my, the filth in God's nostrils. And then you try to pray or offer up prayers and such a thing as that. God refuses it. He turns it right away. That's right. Now, those are pretty strong words. And what Brother Brown has been talking to us this whole sermon, Christ the Mystery God Revealed, he's showing God was in Christ. God is to be his spirit, his nature, his character is to be in the bride. And then God wants fellowship with us. But he says now, but the thing is that we're looking at here is that we're talking about a complete reflection, a complete image, coming into that image. So we come to our 12th attribute of a son of God, and that is that he was made to echo God's life. Nothing else he will echo. Now let's turn to 1 John 5 and verse 12, and we read, he that hath the son, in other words, he that word hath is echo, he that echoes the son echoes life. And he that echoes not the son of God echoes not life. Now where you see that word hath four times in that verse, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. All right? It actually reads, he that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. Now, what is an echo? It's a reflection. He that reflects the Son actually is reflecting life. Now, this is quite a statement from the Apostle John that this was given to us. And as I mentioned, the word hath was translated, or the word echo was translated 60 times in the New Testament by or 600 times, excuse me, in the New Testament as the word hath or have. It's not hath or have. It's echo. And if they would have left it echo, just like baptism, they left baptism, baptisma, they left it as baptism. So we have a functional understanding of what baptism is. And had they left the word parousia as the word parousia, men wouldn't have, instead of translating as coming, then they wouldn't have messed up their theology so much. They would have said, okay, what does this parousia mean? It means the presence. You see, the same thing with this Greek word echo. If they would have just left it as the word echo, it would have changed the whole understanding of what people read here. It says, he that echoes the Son, he that reflects the Son reflects life. But he that does not reflect the Son does not reflect life. You see? Now in 2 John, in verse 9, we read the following. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Again, it's echoes not God. He that remains in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He echoes both the Father and the Son. Because let's face it, Jesus said the Son can say nothing but what the Father tells him to say. So if the Son's saying what the Father's saying, and you're saying what the Son says, then you're saying what the Father says. You're echoing. Now John is speaking to us here concerning two types of people, or shall we say twins. And he is contrasting to us the difference between those two different types of people. First of all, he speaks of those who would transgress and not abide in the doctrine. Now, the word transgress used in this verse of Scripture was translated from the Greek word parabeno, which is made up from two words coming together. The word para speaks of location, proximity, or vicinity, and the word beno means to walk or to keep pace with. Placed together speaks of not keeping pace with or going beyond the limits. Therefore, we can read this verse as whosoever does not keep pace with or who goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. He that abideth or remaineth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. So we see the comparison John is speaking of here has to do with those who would abide in, which means to remain in, versus those who will not keep pace with and thus will not abide in or remain in and thus go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ. And then he tells us that those who will not keep pace with or remain in the doctrine of Christ, they don't echo God. While those who remain in the doctrine of Christ, they will echo both the Father and the Son. Now, once you understand this word hath means echo, you'll understand that the same thing is being spoken of here in both the Scriptures, showing the consistency of the Word of God. In examining this word hath, we find the word was translated from the Greek word echo and is used over 600 times throughout the Scriptures. The Greek word echo has various applications of usage, including to have, to hold, and both of these usages show a possession or relationship. And so we can see that the root meaning of this word speaks of relationship, whether directly or remotely, and thus the main strength of usage concerning this word has to do with continuity of relationship. Now, I know that's a whole bunch of things to think about, but basically it comes down to this. The word continuity means a state or quality of being continuous. In other words, is it a continuous thing? You know, if I were to say, you know, hello, and Ron, and I asked Ron to echo that, and Ron said goodbye. You know, number one, there's no continuity there. All right. Now, if I were to say, if I were to two guys talking, and one guy says, well, that woman, she's really beautiful. Now, that's a statement of fact. That's what he thinks. What if the other guy says the very same words, but he says, now that woman, she's really beautiful. Now, see, he said just the opposite, but he said the same words. You see? You stand in the mirror. You put your right hand up in the mirror. The guy in the mirror has what hand up? He's got his left hand. He's just the opposite. You understand? So close that could deceive the very elect if possible, but it's not possible. All right, so it means a state or quality of being continuous, an uninterrupted succession or flow, a coherent whole, a detailed script or scenario consulted to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot in a film. So as you can see, these descriptive meanings show the attribute of what an echo really is. The purpose of an echo then is to bring about continuity and uninterrupted succession or flow, so to speak, to avoid discrepancy from shot to shot or from voice to voice if we are to be more scripturally accurate. In other words, you can say the same thing the prophet says and say it completely the opposite. Or you can have a continuity and you can say it just like he said it, with the same spirit behind it. Thus, you can see that an echo will keep the continuity of a thought and speech, because an echo not only will say the same thing, but will bring forth the same inflections and dynamics of the original speech time and time again, from time and time again, until it proceeds forth in the course of life. Thus, the spoken word is the original seed, and as a seed, it is subject to the commands of God concerning all seeds. Thus, that is the law of life, as seen in Genesis 1:11, that every seed must bring forth after its kind or after its nature. Thus, in each seed that comes forth from the original seed, there must be an ability to echo or repeat what that seed is. And if the original spoken word seed is a seed, then what spoken word seed must bring forth after its kind. Thus, an ability to echo will guarantee the continuity that each time that the word is repeated, it will not only say the same thing, but the same thought as the original will be behind it. Because the expression or dynamics of that word will be the same from generation to generation as it repeats it over and over and over again. And the repetition being reflected from echo to echo will carry along with it the same expression, the same dynamics, and will sound exactly as the original seed sounded. That's why Brother Branham said, say what's on the tapes. He said, say only what's on the tapes. Say it like it's on the tapes. You know, years ago, I heard Brother Bale preach a message called the 20th Century Omega Reflection. And that message did more to change my understanding of this entire message than anything else. And in it, he spoke of when Moses came down from the mountain and his face were all aglow from the presence of the Lord. And the people made him put a veil over his face because they were afraid when they saw his face, they saw that glow coming from his face, that Shekinah glory, and it scared them. And Brother Bell went on to speak of how the prophet is in direct line with the light or the pillar of fire, and as he reflects, so too, if the people would have only stood there long enough, they would have begun to reflect the same light. But they had him put a veil over his face. And Paul said, when the heart has become open, he said, the veil has been rent, or the veil has been taken away. And he said, that's traditions and creeds. Now, from Come Let Us Reason Together, Brother Brown said, now, you believe that I'm just like this microphone? See, this microphone can't speak lest something speaks through it. See, it's just a piece of metal. It's got to have a sound here to hit it first before it will echo, before it can carry out. Now, that's the way that I am. I'm just like a microphone, see? Now, there has to be some real intelligence behind here, something that knows you and knows all about you, knows what you're here for, to speak through these lips to say that. Isn't that right? Now, the audience believes that. Don't you, audience? See? Because we don't know each other, but he can tell me, then you believe him. So Brother Branham is saying, just like this microphone echoes only, it's reflecting what is being said from a source. He said, I can only do the same thing. I'm an echo. Notice Brother Branham likened himself to an echo of a microphone, which cannot say anything, but echoes only what the first said through it. Now, Brother Bale's sermon, The Omega Reflection, is a very good thought, and it has inspired my studies for the last 29 years. And Brother Branham says now here, from God's only provided place of worship, he said, look, Enoch was the living word of God for his age. He was a prophet. A prophet of God is God's reflector. How many knows that? The reflector doesn't reflect itself. The reflector isn't the reflection. There has to be something strike the reflector to make it reflect. So a prophet is a chosen vessel of God that cannot reflect nothing at all, but he's in direct line with that reflection, God, to reflect the image of Christ, the Word. See, nothing else can do it. You are a reflector. That's the reason the prophet had to eat the book. That's the reason he had to eat the scroll. He had to reflect that word for the age. You got it? But not only is a prophet a reflector, but we are also reflectors. The Bible says that she will be dressed in a garment without spot or without wrinkle. It's like you take like they have for the films. They have a canvas, or they have a white, a screen. And that screen is made in such a way that, if it had a bunch of wrinkles like this, you'd have trouble watching the film. But it's perfectly a reflector because it's without spot or wrinkle. Paul said, Brother Branham said, for Paul, a prisoner, he said, the physical has to die, but you are reflecting by your mortal life the light of heaven. Then you're reflecting the eternal God. Then when you die, you can no more than go to that light, because that's what you've been reflecting. Now, if you're in the dark world, you reflect that also. And you can do no other but darkness. See? So we are a reflection. So we see that as sure as the Holy Spirit reflects light and life, so does death reflect darkness, and here they both are. So man has been made to be a reflector. It depends on who you're reflecting. You see? From it wasn't so from the beginning, Brother Branham said, and it was not Jesus the body, the Son of God. It was the glory of God. It was the God of glory in the Son of God showing the glory of God. You see? Through him. The God of glory manifesting the glory of God. And in him, God dwelt in him, and he reflected God. Now that's the way that each of we as ministers do. We reflect God as God is in us. And then that's the only way that God can move and people move or see God is through me, his servants, through we, his servants. That's how, and people won't read a Bible, but they'll read you. See? And so you reflect Christ. Your walks, your talks, your actions all reflect Christ. Now let me just add this. It all depends on what you're reflecting. Now, from church in its condition, Brother Branham said, here one time ago, he said, I preached just as hard as I could preach in a certain city, and there was thousands of people there. And I made an altar call, and I thought that I covered the whole realm of sin. And I covered everything that I could think of that night. And that night after the service, was over, a very prissy little woman, she walked by. She said, well, Brother Branham, I'm sure glad that you didn't touch me tonight. And I thought, well, that must be a real Christian. Said, you didn't touch me tonight. I said, well, I'm certainly glad to hear that, lady. You must be close to the kingdom of God. And she tipped away. Some elderly woman, elderly lady that was standing by, she said, well, do you know that woman? I said to her, do you know that woman? And she said, yes. And I said, well, she must be a real Christian. And she said, well, one thing you failed to hit tonight, Brother Branham, that was gossip. She's the chiefest gossiper in the country. Well, there you are. That's it. See? And when you come to one of those things, no matter whether the preacher hits it from the pulpit or not, when you see that carnal things of the world, as long as you tolerate with them, you're away from God. And the Holy Spirit will stay away. That's the reason the meetings are not like they used to be. That's the reason the sawdust trail isn't born this morning in the tabernacle. That's the reason the great tent meetings are not around the country, is because we have grieved away the gentle dove of God. That's right. He won't stay as long as we're so indifferent, as long as we're backbiting and we want our way. Now, I want you to notice the lamb was a silent lamb. The Bible said he opened not his mouth. Like a sheep before the shears, he was dumb. He didn't open his mouth. He wasn't a fellow that wants his rights. No, sir. He was willing to forfeit his rights. He was a silent man. But today, oh my, how we want our differences. Oh my, I tell you, you just let somebody say something to me, I'll go over him and get him, and boy, I'll take him apart. I'll tell that old hypocrite when I see her. You just wait till I see her. God bless. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. The dove just takes his flight and goes away. That's right. The Holy Spirit's not with you anymore, as long as you feel that way. Just mark that down in your book. It'll never do it. The Holy Spirit just won't stay around where there's that kind of a spirit. It's got to be a lamb spirit, a gentle spirit, or it just won't stay with it. That's all there is to it. If it ain't a gentle, meek, led by the Holy Spirit, and if anything comes up, it just don't even notice it. It just goes on. See, and the very minute that it turns aside, you know that's the very minute. Now when you turn aside, you know the first sin started of a person turning aside for a few minutes. Did you know that? The Bible said so. Eve turned aside just a moment to hear what Satan had to say, and he painted a picture so pretty to her that she actually thought it was the truth. And she listened to him, and the only thing the devil wants you to do is just turn aside for just a few minutes. And he can paint that picture. Say, now look here. And you know, brother, you know, sister, and if they were the right kind of people, they wouldn't do this. And if they just did this right here, you know, and he can make it so real to you until it becomes a real truth. That's right. But remember, it's the devil. I don't care how low down they are, how far they've stooped in sin. It's your business to put your arm around them and lift them up by the love of God. Where was you when the dove of God lifted you up out of the miry clay? It's your business, my friend. This world is dying for a little bit of love. So I hope you can understand what Brother Branham is saying here. Gossip will keep the Holy Spirit away. Now listen, if the Holy Spirit away, you think you're going to go with him in a rapture? I think gossip is the one thing that's going to keep people out of the rapture more than anything else. Because the Holy Spirit will take his flight. You see, because when you gossip, you're echoing somebody else. You're not echoing God. You understand? Well, so-and-so said that so-and-so did this. Well, if you trace it down, did you go back to find out from the person that's being talked about if it's true or not? How many times have we made decisions based on what we hear somebody else say? Listen, it's destroyed churches. And it's doing it all over this message. You've got to come to the place where you just put that stuff aside. Go to the source. If you want to know the truth, go to the source. From it wasn't so, from the Church Age book, Brother Ram said, in every age we have the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. In 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here, they take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter likewise did. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what had already been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messenger and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. In other words, who are you reflecting? And remember, reflecting isn't just to say what they said. It's to say it how they said it too. From questions and answers, Brother Ram said, what you are somewhere else is what you are reflecting here. What you are, what your celestial body is up yonder, what your celestial body is somewhere else, is what you're reflecting back here. In the spirit land, what you are is what you are here. If you're still vulgar-minded and so forth in the spirit land, you're vulgar-minded there. If you are here. If you still got malice, envy, and strife, you're in the spirit land with that. It reflects back here. But if your whole innermost being has become cleansed and purged, it shows that you've got a body out yonder waiting that's been cleansed and purged, and it's reacting back in the flesh. Don't you see? See, there it is. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. So a true echo is to say what has been said in the very same way that's been said. But if we are to echo, who are we going to echo, brother, sister? Are we echoing the word of God in our life? Now, one of these days, we're all going to have to face going across, either with a body change first or through death. And the older I get, and the more I realize, all the fussing is not worth it. All the bickering, all the wanting it my way, it's not worth it. Let them have it. You want to take the shirt off your back? Let them have it. Just let them have it. You're not going to make it by fussing, brother, sister. It's not going to be done. Brother Rand said, if you're fussing here, you're fussing over there. Remember the guy that wanted to argue with Abraham? He said, you know, bring me some water. He said, I can't. There's a gulf here. Well, then go tell my brothers. You know, go warn my brothers. He said, listen, if one be raised from the dead, they wouldn't believe. And the guy still had an argumentative spirit on the other side. Is that what you're reflecting today, where you're at? I'm serious. It's time that you start to learn to bridle your tongue. The Bible's, Brother Branham said, that your body will obey your confession. What is your confession? Fight, fight, fight. Fuss, fuss, fuss. Now that we know that this word hath actually was translated from the Greek word echo, it brings a whole different understanding, brother, sister, to these verses. Whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. They've got their own say. They got their own thing to say about it. And why is that? Because if you do not keep pace with, then you're either speeding up or you're slowing down. And an echo cannot speed up, nor can it slow down. It must say it just as it was said. That is why Brother Bram said, say it like the tape say it. Because he was saying it on those tapes, just like God has said it to him. And John continues, he that abideth or remains in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and Son. Now, let's examine this in light of 1 John 5 and 12. He that hath, or he that echoes the Son, echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son, echoes not life. Then if you cannot echo the Son, you cannot echo the Son's life either. And God gave his life to the Son. So you see, when Jesus came, he said, it is written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. And Jesus also said in John 5:19 and 30, the Son can of himself do nothing, but whatsoever the Son seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. He also said, my doctrine is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. He also said, the things that I teach, the Father commanded me what to say and what to teach. So in all those instances, we see that he was just an echo. A perfect echo. And so we can see that the Son of God reflected or echoed the Father in every detail, and thus he cannot, thus he that can echo the Son will echo the life of the Son as well. And remember, Jesus got his life from the Father. That's John 5:26. And he that will remain in the doctrine of Christ will echo both the Father and Son. So, for if Jesus echoed the Father and we echo Jesus, then we also will echo the Father. For an echo is not one-time event, but happens over and over and over again. And so when Jesus repeated the words of the Father, that was the first. Then when Paul did it, that's the second. The apostles, the third, fourth, whatever. Until that echo is just completely predominating in the church. It's becoming that preeminence in the church. Thus, Jesus, the first fruit, was the first repeat of the Father to us. And as we catch the vision and are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, that's Romans 8, then we will also do nothing unless the Father shows us first, and what we teach are the commandments from the Father, given to us through the echo of his Son. And thus we echo them to others, and thus they begin to echo them, and it just goes on and on and on, and that life is moving out, it's moving out, it's moving out. Just like your heart pumping shows that you're alive, so too your echoing the word of God again and again shows that you have been made alive in Christ Jesus. And notice, as in the natural, the heart pumping the blood, which the life is in the blood, and thus the pumping of the heart is the evidence that you're alive in the natural, so too in the spiritual, whereas the heart represents our understanding, then thus as the understanding echoes the word of God again and again. Listen, if you've got a hardened heart, it don't echo. In fact, don't they give you an echogram, or an echocardiogram, they call it echocardiogram? You see, when your heart is moving, it's not, if it just moved once, it's dead. It's got to be echoing daily. I am crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet not I living, but Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by his revelation. You see? And every time your heart beats, it should be Christ's heart beating in you. Then you're echoing, you're truly echoing the life of Christ. That's why Paul says in Galatians 2 and 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am alive, yet it's not me that's living, it's actually Christ living in me. In other words, Paul is saying here, since I was crucified with Christ, I am living by his faith, his revelation. And thus, as a result of the life by which he lived, I too am living. And thus we see the life which was in the Father passed along to the Son and then to sons. That's exactly what John 5:26 says. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So this word echo, I'm just going to stop here just a minute. Notice it says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. But that word hath is not the Greek word echo. You see, because the Father can't echo. He's the originator. When you shout in a shower or you shout in a canyon, you're doing the shouting, but what's coming back is the echo. God cannot echo. That word is didomia. It means the Father has given life. It means he's given. For as the Father hath given life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Not echoing life, because the Father is the first, and the first is never an echo. An echo is a repeat of the first over and over again. Now, let's look again at this word echo, or this word hath, in reference to its effect upon those who possess the ability to echo versus those who cannot. In Matthew 13:12, and in closing, we'll just have about a page left or so. For whosoever echoes to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Or more abundance of what? What and why? Because the very nature of an echo is to have more and more and more of the same. That's why when you hear that word and you repeat it over and over and over again, when you have a promise from God, repeat the promise over and over and over, like the woman knocking on the door of the unjust judge. She's echoing, she's knocking, 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 and Jesus said, ask abundantly that your joy might be full. Not just ask one time. Well, I asked him one time. If he's not going to respond, then, you know, isn't that the way we do with people? Well, I asked him and they didn't respond. So, you know, just forget them. I'll just write them off. You're going to write God off too? He said, ask abundantly. Go back and back and back. Look, be like the little ones. Mommy, can I have a cookie? No, wait. You know, you're going to spoil your supper. 2 minutes later. They forgot about asking already. Mommy, can I have a cookie? No, I just wait, honey. 2 minutes later, Mom, can I have a cookie? Or are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. We've got, you know, a long ways to go. 2 minutes later, are we there yet? Be like little children. Echo, 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 echo until you get what you're asking. You see? Repeat the word over and over and over again until it becomes part of your life. Part of who you are. Now, the phrase hath life, hath, H-A-T-H, hath life, echo life, is used 23 times in the New Testament, but in my examining of each usage of the phrase hath life, I found that the word hath was not always translated from the Greek word echo, and in my amazement, the only time it was not taken from the Greek word echo is when it was referring to something that God did. And why is that? Because God does not echo. His spoken word is the original. It is not an echo. But each time that word reflects from one to another, it's echoing. Therefore, the source of life does not echo, but the echo is what we do. Now, in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer echoes eternal life abiding in him. No murderer echoes eternal life. So see that no murderer can echo eternal life. And thus no one who hates his brother echoes eternal life in doing so. But as we examine 1 John 5 and verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. But here we don't see the word echo used. The word hath, there is an interpolation, and is not in the original Greek. Simply put, God hath, not God hath, but God gave. God gave to us eternal life. We've already seen the usage in 1 John 5 and 12. He that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. We find in Acts 11, verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now, the Greek word there, the word hath was translated, there was not the word echo, but it was didymi, and it means God gave to the Gentiles. In John 15, 13, greater love echoes no man than this, than a man lay down his life for friends. Now, it doesn't say, Greater love no man has than this, because Jesus did it first. Therefore, it says, greater love echoes no man than this, because for us to do the same would be echoing the love of Christ. In John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son echoes everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, then what are these attributes of an echo that we're supposed to see? Well, from Jubilee year, Brother Branham said, listen, friends, tonight, if you're here without Christ and you don't know him, really sure in your heart, positive of it, without a shadow of a doubt that Christ is in your heart, all right. But if you say, well, Brother Bram, I got broke up and cried once when I got to the altar, don't take that. You say, well, I'll tell you, Brother Bram, I had a good time one time. I danced in the Spirit all over the place. Don't you take that, see? You say, well, I prayed for a man one time and he got well. Don't take that. The thing for you to take is to know that when Christ is in your heart, when the great trials and troubles come on, he's still sweet to you. You just walk, and you walk just the same. If everything's going wrong and everybody's against you and everything's going this way and you're still sweet and lovely, it's all right. Moving right on. And you, your spirit, bearing record with his spirit that you're sons and daughters of God. If that doesn't echo in your soul tonight, friend, let's not be marked out of the kingdom of God. Let's get into the kingdom of God. And when a man is once marked in the kingdom of God, he's sealed till the end of his journey. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. So if you still got a temper that'll fight like a buzzsaw, you're not sealed in. You're not echoing either. You got your own opinion. And you're not going to take your opinion. Well, you'll take your opinions with you, and you'll be just like that guy on the other side that wanted to argue with Abraham. You've got to die. We've all got to die to self. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me echoes everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death to life. From demonology to religious, Brother Brown says, and then, now then, the Urim Thummim today is this Bible. If somebody has given a prophecy or a dream and it don't compare or echo with God's Bible, it's false. Don't believe it. And if you got a temper to fight like a buzzsaw, all you got to do is take it to the message, type in temper like a buzzsaw, and you're going to find, Brother Brown said, you ain't going to make it with that. I'm sorry, you might think, well, I've got parents that were in the message, and I've got grandparents that were in the message, and I've been raised in the message, I believe the message. You're not going to make it, brother, sister, if you got a temper like a buzzsaw. I'm sorry, you've got to die. You're not taking that over there. God don't want that kind of a stuff over there. From John 5:26, for as the Father echoes life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. From eagle stirs their nest. Brother Ram said, God, let the scream of the Holy Spirit echo in their hearts deep tonight. And from John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might echo life through his name. And in closing, Brother Ram said, from harvest time, he said, he was the word that was made flesh, for he reflected what? The word only. And if you're an epistle, you reflect only the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we understand, Lord, that we are to be echoing you, but we found that we're made to echo, period. But our life will be a testify where our celestial body is. Is it hovering someplace between the fifth and sixth dimension? We know the believers go to the fifth and the unbelievers go to the sixth. Where are we at, Father? Or is our celestial body even brought forth yet? Because you said, your own prophets, that that if our deeds here in this life reflect where we're going. So, Father, I just pray you forgive us. Help us, Lord, to control the tongue. Help us, Lord, to bridle that which can be bridled. And, Lord, we know that we say, well, we have trouble with it. But, Father, we know that we're not prayed up enough. As Brother Branham said, that you can eat too much, you can sleep too much, but you can never pray too much. So, Father, help us to be a praying people, not praying on people like we would on an animal. But, Father, help us to pray, P-R-A-Y. Help us to be always praying without ceasing. Help us to be always comparing what we do, what we say, with what your word says. And, Father, if we just are hard to get along with, I feel sorry, Lord. I really feel sorry for those who are. Because they don't realize where they're headed. And there's nothing they can say, and they can get mad at me for saying it, Father, but your prophet said it. He said, we grieve away your Holy Spirit when we gossip. We grieve away your Holy Spirit when we have a tongue like a buzzsaw. Help us, Lord, to become soft and tender. Help us to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen, to sweeten up. As Brother Branham said, that's the way we're going to be when we take the rapture. Well, it's very apparent that we're not that way across this message today. There may be one or two here and there, Lord, that are moving in the right direction. But, Father, I just pray for your elect. I pray for all of us, oh God, that we could just lay aside our own opinions, that we could just die. And as Jesus, your Son, when he was, they struck him across the face, and when they beat him and everything else, he just never opened his mouth. Just let them have at it. Just let them do what they're going to do. But they'll all end up having to pay one day. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to have that attitude of the Lamb, that your dove might come and make his abode in us and take us from here. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, Brother Ram talked about when that great magnet comes across, if we're magnetized to him, we're going to go. Well, the problem is, brother, sister, that if we're not ready, if we're not magnetized, I mean, the magnet doesn't come across and pick up aluminum. It picks up that which is made out of the same material. And so Do we have the nature of a lamb? Well, God bless you. The Lord bless you.